welcome you to Ballygowan Free Presbyterian Church tonight, to our gospel service, and we pray that God will meet with us tonight as we meet around his word. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we come to thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for this another opportunity of meeting in thy presence, and we pray for help tonight and for power and for a sense of the presence of the Lord in our midst, that thou would speak in every home, to every heart, to everyone listening in tonight. And we pray for those who are not saved, that even this will be the night of their salvation. And Lord, for those who are saved, the word of God will be a means of strengthening and uplifting to their hearts. Meet with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, for God's eternal glory. Amen. We'll commence with the hymn 204. These hymns have been sung at previous services in our church. Let us sing of his love once again, of the love that can never decay, of the blood of the Lamb who was slain, till we praise him again in that day. We trust you'll join in your homes singing the praises of the Lord tonight. Let us unite together in prayer. And after we pray, we will hear two recordings of Mrs. Natasha Atchison ministering in Saul. Let us pray. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we come into thy presence in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. We thank thee, O God, for thy mercy and thy grace toward us. We thank thee, O God, for so great salvation. And Lord, as we come tonight to this gospel service, we thank thee for the opportunity again of presenting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our God and Father, we pray that tonight thou wouldst speak through thy word to every waiting heart. O God, that thou wilt challenge men and women about their sin, that thou wouldst convict of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, that thou wouldst show men and women, boys and girls, their need of salvation, and that thou wouldst bring them savingly tonight to Christ, that they may experience the grace of God and the salvation that was purchased on Calvary by our Lord Jesus Christ. May they know cleansing in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank that thou art the answer to every need. We pray that thou wilt meet every need tonight, that thou wilt work effectually and powerfully through the preaching of thy word. O God, we thank thee that thou hast ordained through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We thank thee that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And O God, our Father, we pray tonight that thou wouldst move and that thou wouldst work, that thou wouldst come and that thou wouldst answer prayer. We pray, O God, for those that are far from thee tonight, that they may be drawn into the fold of thy mercy and salvation. We ask, O God, for those who are wandering and backsliding, that they may be restored to thee. And O God, that a mighty work will be done here and across this world even tonight. We pray, O God, that thou wilt bless in our sister congregations and everywhere the gospel of Jesus Christ is faithfully proclaimed across this world. We pray that men and women will come to Christ. And Lord, that thou wilt give the gift of repentance and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the working of thy Spirit tonight. We pray for power and help to be given unto us, that every detail of this service will be blessed and owned of God, to the glory and to the praise and to the honor of thy name. We pray, O God, that you'd remember, O God, the need right across our land and our nation. And further afield tonight, we pray, O God, that thou would remember those who are afflicted with this pandemic and with this virus. We pray, O God, that thou would answer prayer for those who are hospitalized, for those who are in intensive care, for those who are ill at home. We pray, our God and Father, that you'll meet every need. You'll answer prayer this night. And, O God, that you would restore those that need that healing touch of the Lord at this time. Remember doctors and nurses. Remember all involved in seeking to help at this time. We pray, our God, that thou wilt bless our health service and give grace and help through this time. And even as these vaccines go out, we pray that they will be rolled out quickly and will be a means of help, if it is your will, even in relation to these matters at this time. We call upon thee for thine intervention. O God, we pray that thou wouldst move across the land and to the uttermost parts of the world. And grant, O God, that thou wouldst stay the plague, if it is thy holy will, and that thou wilt answer prayer and turn the hearts of men through this time, even to the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we pray for our church family too, members and friends within it who are ill. We pray for thy touch upon them. Thank you for bringing Mary home from hospital, getting her through the surgery. Continue to touch her and bless her family at this time. Remember others in our church family too, who are ill themselves or have loved ones who are ill, awaiting surgery, procedures, various issues of health. We pray for those who are suffering mentally through this pandemic as well, those who are isolated and alone. We pray that they may be conscious that the Lord is with them, even at this very moment tonight. And Lord, we look to thee for our government too. Give wisdom and direction in all decisions that have to be made. And grant, Lord, as we pray, as thou hast told us to pray for those in authority, that, Lord, they may be guided aright in these days. O God, hear our prayers. Answer our cries tonight. Be with us in this service and glorify thy name. We ask in Jesus' name for God's eternal glory. Amen.
that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all.
To our service tonight, and we trust that the Lord will bless our coming together in the gospel this evening. We trust that the Lord will meet with us around his word in a few moments' time when we come to the word of God tonight. Could I just mention the Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study again online? Survey of the New Testament will be continued this week. It will be the study in 2 Thessalonians, followed by a season of prayer. We encourage God's people to join in with our Bible study and to meet in prayer in their own homes on Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And then we thank all who joined us in our youth fellowship on Zoom. We've been meeting since October last on Zoom and a number of times each month, and that was the first one for this year, 2021, and went very well on Friday night, and we look forward to the 29th, which is the next one, on Zoom at 8 p.m. Trust you'll join us then. We encourage parents to encourage their youth to join in. Young people, year 8 is normally the stage when we ask them to come, but if it's year 7, we encourage you to join in, because you're coming into year 8, God willing, at school, and we encourage you to come and join in on Zoom as well for the next Youth Fellowship meeting, 29th of January at 8 p.m. Next Lord's Day, 11:30 and 7, we'll be preaching the Word of God again online. We trust that you'll pray for us, you'll join in with us at the services next Lord's Day in the will of God. Do pray for all those affected by this virus and other illnesses at this time. Pray for our health service, our doctors, our nurses, our key workers, those in the front line, and pray that we'll all follow the restrictions and we'll seek to do our bit for our neighbour and society at this time, as the Word of God urges us to do. We pray for our sister Mary McFadden as she recovers from her surgery. She had it yesterday and she was out by lunchtime today, home again, and we thank the Lord for that. Continue to pray for her full recovery. And for others going through treatments and waiting for procedures and waiting for results of various tests that they've had in days to come. We pray for divine intervention at this time in relation to this virus. Our denomination held two times of prayer yesterday on Zoom in the morning time and in the afternoon. Hundreds of people joined in through that means. And we're thankful to the Lord for those seasons of prayer. And a couple of weeks' time, on the 30th, there'll be other seasons of prayer which will be made known to you on Zoom that you can link in if you can. And if you can't link in, you can join in and by praying in your own home and seeking the Lord's face at the times of when we're meeting on Zoom for prayer. Our services will be continuing online, of course, with a weekly meditation on Facebook and WhatsApp. Do continue to join with the services and to continue to pray for the Lord's work. Offerings can be forwarded, as we've indicated to you, on our WhatsApp, or they can be retained until we are next able to meet in the church as a congregation. These are all the announcements. We trust the Lord will bless you in these days. We're turning to hymn number 211 in our hymn book, and again, we sung at a previous service in our church. There is a story sweet to hear, I love to tell it to. It fills my heart with hope and cheer, 'tis old yet ever new. Let's join the singing, even in our own homes tonight. Turning to the Word of God tonight, and we're reading together from Matthew chapter 7, the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, and the verse 15. Let us hear the Word of God. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I liken unto him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our gracious God and eternal Father, we come to thee tonight for this time in the gospel, and for the preaching of thy word in particular. And we pray that thou wilt give us help and power as we preach thy word tonight. We pray, O God, that some soul or souls, as a result of the preaching, will come to saving faith in Christ. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. The subject tonight is in or out. In or out. And the basis of the message is in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. If you're to listen to many in this world, you would think that everybody is going to heaven. Many in the religious world promote this notion. I suppose they want to give the feel-good factor to their listeners. But such notions are not in keeping with the truth of God's Word. The teaching of the Word of God is clear and plain, so that all can understand what is required of them if they are to be sure of heaven at the end of their earthly journey. The teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ, too, is plain and simple, so that the youngest child and the most uneducated in this world can understand how they can get to heaven. And the Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry was forthright and faithful in what he said to his hearers. He got to the very crux of the matter. There was no beating about the bush, no honeyed words from the Lord Jesus Christ. He came right to the point. And here, in part of his Sermon on the Mount, near to the finish of his sermon on this occasion, he spoke with clarity concerning the kingdom of heaven. Who would be there and who wouldn't be there? In or out? Who would be inside or who would be outside of the kingdom of heaven? And he left no room for doubt in the minds of his hearers. And as you listen to the Word of God, I want no one to have any doubts tonight about this matter. We come to the point, as it is set before us in these verses of Scripture here, in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. It is my earnest prayer that God by his Spirit tonight will show you these simple truths of his word about the kingdom of God. And if you are not saved, that tonight you will get saved and you will come to Christ tonight. In or out? There are three main points that I want to bring to your attention from these words in relation to this subject tonight. First of all, the pronouncement of the Master in verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew Henry, that great commentator, said, "Outward professions of religion, however remarkable, will not bring us into heaven unless there be a correspondent conversion of the heart. Many have the Lord's name on their lips, but they don't have Him in their heart. They have never known this conversion of heart. Many there are who draw near with their lips, but their hearts are far from God. Lip service to Christ without a heart experience of Him does not bring the soul to salvation." I want you to notice here the plainness of these words. Not everyone who takes the Lord's name on their lips will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, with many, it's just an outward show without an inward experience in the heart. There are many who can use the Lord's name at the right moments and in the right company with just the right words, but they're empty words. They're idle words. They're words devoid of meaning. Don't indicate the heart experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Pharisees could use the Lord's name, but the Lord exposed their hypocrisy on more than one occasion. You have that great exposure of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, where the Lord Jesus Christ exposed them over and over again. "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites." And there are people who will use the Lord's name at certain key moments. For example, when they're talking to a Christian, when the Bible is mentioned, they will let the Lord's name fall from their lips with such seeming sincerity and reverence and respect. But alas, it is empty. There is nothing of reality in what they say. It is just from the lips outward. No doubt Judas took the Lord's name on his lips. He sat in the very presence of Christ. He was with the disciples of Christ. He heard the words of Christ. He saw the works of Christ. But it meant nothing. The Bible tells us that Judas went out and it was night. He was a thief and he was a traitor. And he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. You notice the plainness of these words. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." But you'll notice the pointedness of these words. They relate to the kingdom of heaven. Those who are excluded from the kingdom of heaven. Not everyone that takes the Lord's name on their lips will enter into God's kingdom. There are many from the religious world who will not enter into God's kingdom. They have religion, but they don't have Christ. They use His name, but they don't have His salvation. And so it is with many in the irreligious world too. They will not enter in to the kingdom of God either. You see, my friend, the kingdom of God is only for those who are born again. The Bible teaches us in John chapter 3 and verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Have you been born again? If you haven't, my friend, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. You cannot in any way get it more pointed than from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself here. Men may say, "Well, sure, we're all going to heaven. God will admit us all at the last. No matter how we have lived our lives, He will have mercy upon us at the last day. And He will give us entrance into the kingdom of God." That's not in keeping with what the Bible teaches here. The Lord says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven." Not everyone. See the negative here. If He had left that word "not" out, then He would have been saying the opposite. But He didn't leave it out. He said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." And so many are excluded from the kingdom of heaven. Are you among such? Those who will be outside the kingdom of heaven. But then I want you to see the performance required in these words. It says here, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It is whether or not a person does what the Lord says that proves whether or not they will be a partaker of the kingdom of heaven. To call on the name of the Lord continually, but never do what he says, is the essence of a false profession. Are you living in a false profession tonight? The Lord's penetrating question is Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Words sometimes come out of our lips very easily. Lord, Lord. But yet we do not obey the Lord. And obedience to His Word is what is required here. This is His will. That we believe in Christ. That we repent of our sin. That we live a holy life. Have you obeyed His Word? Have you turned from your sin? Have you received Christ as your own and personal Savior? Have you done the will of the Father which is in heaven? If we do not comply with the will of God, we mock Christ in calling Him Lord. See the exhortation in these words. To do the will of the Father. To obey God. To obey the gospel. See the emphasis in these words. And notice what it says here. Doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. You see, my friend, actions speak louder than words. And so many will talk the talk, but He demands that we walk the walk. And so the emphasis is here very clear. Will you obey tonight? Will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and your personal Savior? Even before you close your eyes and sleep tonight. The pronouncement of the Master. But I want you to see, secondly, the profession of many. Look at verse 22 of Matthew chapter 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? It is a tragedy that people think they are doing the Lord's will in the realm of prophecy and exorcism and miracles, that they do not realize that Satan himself is so adept at producing counterfeit phenomena. And today many people who profess to speak in tongues and proclaim prophecies are deceiving themselves and others with their so-called gifts. A man may be a preacher. He may have gifts for ministry, even an external call to the ministry, and perhaps some success seemingly in the ministry, and yet be a wicked man. He may even help others to heaven and yet come short himself. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And all these things are done in the Lord's name. Notice the repetition of the words here in this verse. 3 times it is repeated. We have prophesied in thy name, in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. It's not only words that they speak, but works that they're involved in, doing things, even seemingly mighty things, great things, miraculous things, in the Lord's name. But it doesn't mean for one moment that they are empowered by the Lord. You see, my friend, often the Lord's name is misused and abused. There's no little amount of arrogance, as if they are saying to the Lord, look at me, look what I have done. Look what I have done in your name. I have delivered your message. I've cast out demons. I've done all these wonderful works. It's all about me, me, me. It's all about I. Not only individuals, but groups. So-called churches boasting about what they're doing. We are doing this, we're doing that, we're doing the other thing. All in thy name, in the Lord's name. But many times it's not the Lord's work at all. But they speak of it as if it is. It's the devil's work. Look at 2 Thessalonians for a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. And see the words of Scripture here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Notice the words of Scripture. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs, notice the words, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might receive. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Deceptive. Delusion. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. The Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice the words and the terms that are used. Seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. And again, going over to 2 Timothy, see how the Word of God lays emphasis upon this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 4, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Listen, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. What delusion, what deception, what darkness. And I put it to you, is it not so in this world tonight? Is it not so with many religious people in this world? And all these falsehoods are being peddled across this world. And using the Lord's name. And people saying, I've done this in your name. And I've done that in your name. And I've done the other thing in your name. And how busy is the enemy of souls. He has employed many in his work, loudly professing it to be in the Lord's name. While all the time, I put it to you tonight from Scripture, it is the opposite to the truth. We must examine all of these so-called miracle workers in the light of Scripture, which shows them up to be the fake that they really are. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20, if they speak not according to this word of Scripture, the word of God, it's because there is no light in them. Their profession, I put it to you and I submit to you tonight, is a false profession. The light that is in them is darkness. And how great is that darkness? Men and women tonight, have you been deceived? Have you been deluded? Have you been turned aside to that which is a lie? And that which is falsehood and that which is against Scripture? And turning you in a path that is leading you to a lost and Christless eternity. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But I want you to notice thirdly here in this passage, the perdition for the multitude. Look at verse 23. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Depart from me. And the Lord will say to them on that day, and you'll notice how he pointed to that day. In verse 22. That time when they will be finally exposed for what they are, false professors of the Lord's name. And the expression that day anticipates the coming day of judgment. And let me suggest to you tonight that the Lord's verdict will be terrible. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let these words sink into your heart tonight. Think of the seriousness of these words. I never knew you. This does not mean that Christ was totally unacquainted with them. He knew who they were. He was fully acquainted with their character and their conduct. For he knoweth all things, and he seeth all things. Nothing is hid from the eyes of the one with whom we have to do. Rather, these words signify that he did not approve of nor accept it. When it is said, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, it is to be understood that he is pleased with them. But those that truly trust him as Savior, he knoweth the way of the righteous. But here is an awful verdict. I never knew you. No, not even when you were preaching and working and doing things in my holy name. Even when these so-called miracles were being performed, you may have deceived yourselves and others to whom you have ministered or worked among. But it's impossible to deceive the Lord. The Lord is not deceived. The Lord sees you as you really are tonight. I will profess unto them, you have professed much. Made free, use of his name maintained. You're standing even as leaders in a church. Maybe participating in the work of a church. So now hear my profession, the Lord says. I never knew you. You were never part of the family of God. You've never been born again. You've never truly repented of your sin. You've never truly had a saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice the sentence here. Depart from me. Depart from me. Here is the fearful sentence imposed. They may have had the respect of men, but they are objects of abhorrence to the Lord Jesus Christ. They may have had his name on their lips, but he does not dwell in their hearts. Depart from me. It is the announcement of their just condemnation. You see, my friend, and this is a most solemn thing, it is possible to be near to the Lord by profession and even by position. But now they must go to the only place for which they are fitted, banishment from the Lord's presence. A lost eternity. Here we discover the force of that terrible expression, the second death that is mentioned in Revelation 21 and verse 8. It is not extinction of being or annihilation of the soul, but rather eternal separation from Christ. Alienation from the life of God. It is being punished. As 2 Thessalonians 1 and 9 says, with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Cut off forever from the Lord, from the bestower of blessing, tormented in the lake of fire. What a sentence. Is that the sentence that awaits you, my friend, tonight? Oh, let me say solemnly to you tonight, and sincerely to you, that is the sentence that awaits you if you're not saved, and if you die in an unsaved condition. But notice the statement here. He says, ye that work iniquity, ye that work iniquity. Many may be applauded and praised by men for their wonderful works that they have done in the Lord's name, but the Lord assesses them differently. People may look and admire the outward show, but the one who will judge looketh on the heart. He looks beneath the surface. He sees you as you really are. And the Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 16 and verse 15 that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. Even the righteousness of the natural man are but filthy rags in the sight of God. What a statement. Summarizing the religious professors, a summary perhaps of your own life tonight. If you have been professing Christ, doing many religious exercises, and yet never possessing Christ in your heart as your own and personal Savior, what an awful thing it is to be in such a position. What an awful thing it is to be excluded from the Lord's presence for all eternity, to be confined forever to an eternal hell. Oh, my friend, tonight, I urge you now to make sure you're not excluded from His presence, from the kingdom of heaven, that you're included, that you're numbered amongst those who are saved, and that you have at the end of your life an abundant entrance into the kingdom of heaven that you're in and not out. That you're in Christ, not out of Christ. That you're in heaven and not outside heaven, because to be outside of heaven is to be lost in hell. Oh, I urge you tonight. I plead with you tonight. I implore you tonight. Seek the Lord while He may be found, and call upon Him while He is near. Savior is calling you tonight away from a false profession and away to a true possession of Christ. As your Lord and Savior. May God bless His word to our hearts tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we pray that Thou would indelibly write upon the fleshy tables of every heart the holy truth of Thy word. May it be a saving word to souls tonight. May souls even now call upon the name of the Lord. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And I turn you to our final hymn tonight. It's the words of 251. 251. Why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you place in His sanctified throng. Trust you'll join at home singing of this hymn, which was sung at the previous meeting in the church. 251. Thank you for joining with us tonight and listening to our service here from Ballygan Free Presbyterian Church. We trust the Lord will bless you. If God has spoken to you tonight, please do get in contact with us. Do text or call us on the phone or email us. We'll be happy to hear from you and to point you from the Word of God to the one who can save your soul tonight. Let us pray. Father in heaven, continue to speak on when the voice of man is silent, and draw precious souls this night to saving faith in Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest, remain, and abide with you all, now and forevermore. Amen.